Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 through 18. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So far, sermon text. Christ Jesus, the captain, the author, the high priest of our salvation, dear fellow redeemed. Not in the wildest dreams of human beings could we have ever come up with the solution, the answer. There's no way that people could have solved the problem. The problem? What to do with mankind's sin. People would have come up with these kind of solutions. They would have said, just ignore it. Or they say, we'll work on our own solution. By our good works, by our actions, by our prayers, by our worship. Or they'll say, well, God's a loving God. He'll just forget about them. We'll all go to heaven anyway. In fact, that's exactly what human beings have come up for solutions to our problem with sin. And they've added more things, like reincarnation. God's given us a second, third, fourth, and an unlimited number of chances to get it right until finally we're taken to nirvana or that utopia above. But never in man's wildest imaginings could they ever come up with the gospel. The good news that God would send us a substitute sacrifice. That God the Father would love us sinners so much that he'd send his Son to take our place, live a perfect life, and suffer the death and the damnation that we deserve. That God the Son would love us so much that we'd be willing to leave his throne on high, come down to become a human being like you and me, with all our frailty, and then allow himself to be damned for us. But that's the only possible plan of salvation. This morning, the author of the Hebrews tells us the only possible plan of salvation is Jesus. And there's 2 points. Jesus is the author, the pathfinder of our salvation. He's also the high priest, who's given the ultimate sacrifice to destroy death and the devil. In verse 10 of our text, Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. That word also means author. It also means pathfinder or trailblazer of our salvation. Most of us know what a captain is. He rules over certain soldiers. Most of us know what an author is. Author is someone who writes a book or writes an article. They come up with a thought in their mind and then they write it down. But what's a pathfinder? Pathfinders were pretty important back in the Old West. Pathfinders were like scouts. They led the pioneers, wagon trains, even soldiers as they traveled out west. They would scout out the land, make sure that the pioneers, the wagon trains, and the soldiers were in safe territory, wouldn't get lost, away from their enemy. If the pathfinder led you in the wrong direction, it could mean certain death, or at least capture. So all these names are beautiful pictures of our Savior Jesus. He's our captain. He's our Lord. He rules over us, protects us as well. He's the author of our salvation. He's the one who came up with the idea. He's the one who fulfilled the idea. He came up with the story, and he then wrote the story. And he's also the pathfinder. He leads us through this world of enemies, sin, Satan, death, own sinful flesh, to heaven. But not only is he a pathfinder, he himself is the very path itself. We're told in our text that it's fitting, right, proper, in fact, necessary that God the Father make his Son to be this pathfinder to bring us to God's glory. For you see, our salvation was not just some haphazard happening, not just some twist of fate or lucky break or freak accident. Humanly speaking, it was already planned in God's heart and mind in eternity. He planned it. He devised it. Not by forgetting about our sins, ignoring our sins, but by dealing with them. He planned and devised the greatest gift of love ever. He would send his only begotten Son, the Son whom he loved the greatest, to come into this world to take our place, to lay upon him then all of our sins, the guilt and punishment of every single person in this world, on his Son. To lay the guilt and punishment of all of us on his Son, and take all the wrath and hatred he had toward our sin and focus it upon his Son, Jesus. We're told in our text that this pathfinder was made perfect through sufferings. That doesn't sound right, does it? Jesus was made perfect through sufferings? We're taught that Jesus was conceived and born perfect. His conception was by the power of the Holy Spirit. He had no sin, thought, word, or deed. Well, here the author of the Hebrews doesn't use the word for righteous or holy, that kind of perfect. He uses the word for complete, having reached a goal, accomplished, carrying something to the end, finished, perfected. Jesus' goal was to prepare salvation for every single human being. And he reached that goal. He was made perfected in that goal through his suffering. If Jesus, as our captain, as our author, as our trailblazer, as our pathfinder, didn't suffer and die, we'd all be lost. He would then lead us down a route, a path that would lead to death, destruction, and damnation. But Christ finished. He perfected that salvation of ours. He did what he was sent to do. And what great love it took. In love, he left his throne on high. In love, he came down here to become frail human beings like you and like me. He didn't use his godly powers at all times. He was susceptible to all things in this earth. And he was not ashamed of that either. We're told, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren, brothers. Jesus is the God-man, the one for us. That's Emmanuel, God with us. He's just like us in every single way, except he doesn't have sin. He is conceived and born like us, except he didn't have a human father. But he lived and ate and drank and slept and walked and talked and like all people, and even died. His tremendous love for us led him to suffer ridicule, betrayal, mockery, punishment, the agony of body and soul of damnation, and finally the humiliating, excruciating, painful death as a common criminal upon the cross. We were told Jesus was not ashamed of his suffering, not ashamed of being a substitute for every one of us. The author of the Hebrews quotes several Old Testament passages where the Messiah is speaking. Psalm 22, the Lord Jesus saying, the Messiah, "I will declare your name, Father, to my brothers, my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." And then Isaiah 8:18, the Messiah is saying, "Here I am, and the children whom God has given me." So at the same time, we're called brothers and sisters to Christ, we're also called the children of God. That leads us to the second point this morning, and that is, this high priest of ours offered the ultimate sacrifice to destroy death and the devil. Jesus is our priest, our high priest. That means he's our mediator. He's our go-between. As our high priest, he offered the ultimate sacrifice, which we mentioned, which is himself. Nothing else would do. Remember our theme? The only possible plan of salvation. Jesus. We cannot, no matter how hard or how long we try, atone for one single sin, one sinful thought, one little word that we said was wrong, one action of ours. We cannot in any way pay for any of our sins. We cannot be good enough to merit God's love. And we cannot give enough tears, enough money, enough offerings, enough prayers, enough worship, enough sacrifices that would satisfy God's justice. For God's justice declares, the soul that sins shall die. The wages, the payment for our sin is death. God could not ignore sin. He couldn't just forget about sin. It had to be atoned for. A payment had to be made. It was either the eternal damnation of every single one of us, all the sinners in the world going to hell, and God alone in heaven with his angels, or God would send one substitute to take the place of everybody else. That the Father did. That Jesus did. That's why the only plan of salvation is Jesus. Every other plan fails. Every other solution fails. Every other answer fails. You gotta be kind of old, probably 40 or older, to remember a very cute commercial back in the 70s. Two little boys were supposed to eat their cereal. It was Life cereal. They turned their nose up on it. But then the third brother, Mikey, who didn't like anything, ate it, and they said, "Mikey likes it. He likes it." And because he tasted it, they followed suit. Well, in our text, we're told that Jesus tasted death for every one of us. There's no reason for us to fear, to be afraid of, to be held in terror of death. The God-man went through it for us. He tasted it first. And then we'll taste it later, following after Jesus. But this tasting of death was not just a mere example of how to die. This is our salvation. By Jesus tasting death for us, he put death to death. He destroyed death. By his death and his resurrection, he nullified the power of death and took away the power of the devil, which was death, upon all of mankind. In our text we read, "As much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm sure most all of you, maybe even little kids, have heard the saying, the only thing sure in life are death and taxes. And death is inevitable. It's as inevitable as our next breath. We felt it last weekend when there were two sudden deaths of our loved ones. Wendy Fassbender, 54 years old, died in a diving accident. Kurt Albrecht, 30 years old, died in a motorcycle accident. Someday, every one of us is going to die. It's inevitable. Life is so frail, so fragile. So are you afraid of that? Do we fear the prospect of death? Does death hold us in terror and in bondage, slavery to death and the devil? Christ says, break those bonds. Death no longer has the last word. In fact, in Christ, we can say the only sure thing, the only sure thing in life is life through Christ. How ironic it must have been for the believers to read these words, and then, if they were there in Jerusalem, to think back on Good Friday when they saw, if there ever was a victory for death, it looked like it when Jesus was dying on the cross. If there ever was a victory for Satan, it sure looked like it when Jesus was laid in the grave. If ever the powers of hell seemed successful, it was then. Jesus was disowned by his own nation, betrayed by one disciple, denied by another, and forsaken and abandoned by the rest. His own father forsook him and condemned him. He suffered a terrible, excruciatingly painful death. What a pitiful sight. And yet, that sight that looked totally like a defeat is the picture, in reality, of our complete and total victory. When you combine Good Friday with Easter Sunday, that is the propitiation for all of our sins. The reconciliation, God the Son atoning for the sins of every single one of us and assuring those who believe in Christ of a resurrection to eternal life. Because of Christ's death, he has transformed the meaning of death for us. No longer does death mean separation from God, the end, or judgment, or damnation, or certain bondage. But now death is but that open door, the open door to life, open door to freedom, the open door to being with God forever and ever. Having been set free from this body of sin through Christ's death and resurrection, Satan can no longer scare us with that boogeyman, that intimidating weapon. You're going to die someday. Death has been conquered through Christ. May we all so look upon our deaths as the open doorway to freedom, to life, to salvation, without fear, without terror. We can follow our pathfinder, follow him down the path of life and death, because he's tasted death for us. By his death, we can follow him into our death, because by his resurrection, we will follow him with our resurrection on Judgment Day. So, we can say with the Apostle Paul the same powerful words that he said, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.